Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning. We welcome you to worship at College Park. Excited to be together. A few announcements we'd like to make as we get started. First off, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. That would be great. Also, when it reaches that last person, when you are done, please send it back to where it got started. And the first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for your help with that. Several things draw your attention to. Many are listed in upcoming events and opportunities for the week. A couple of adjustments. There is no children's time today. Make note of that. Pickleball. If you want to learn pickleball, yeah. Does anybody want to learn pickleball?
Yeah.
Matt, I tried. Yes.
They tried too.
This is supposed to be an encouraging place, loving place. I hear there are a lot of rules in pickleball. A lot of rules. But I hear there's a lot of fun being had. Speaking of a lot of fun being had, we just got back from youth camp. I'm feeling it this morning. It was an incredible week, but I need a nap. Hopefully, well, that will happen later this afternoon. But youth camp, we felt many of your prayers. We thank you so much for the opportunity to send our young people to camp. God showed up, and as he always has a tendency to do, right when we needed him, and we were thankful that we were there to experience it. Be praying that we would take what we learned and experienced at youth camp and that it affects the other 51 weeks of the year. That is what it's all about for all of us, right? That what we experience and learn impacts every day. Next, several things that are coming up. We have a family cookout. This is for mom, dad, kids of every age, grandparents. We're having hot dog cookout next Saturday at 6 o'clock in Smith Hall. We're going to have a few things to play together. We have laser tag that's coming in. We're going to do laser tag here at the church. Also, we have nine square in the air. Anybody play four square before? How many have never played four square? Raise your hand. Nine square in the air is much easier to play than four square. We want you to come. Anybody can play it. It's a lot of fun, moms, dads, kids, grandparents, everybody in between. It is a great, great time we'll have together. There's a sign-up sheet right there at the welcome desk. We've already got a good number signed up, and we look forward to a fun time together. But then you can stay for the youth lock-in that will happen afterwards that will end at the end of the 9 o'clock service next week. So, yeah, all the fun's not over yet. Lots of things that are happening. I have an incoming announcement. No Other Gods is meeting on Thursday, not Wednesday this week, to accommodate the church conference. So make note of that. No Other Gods study is making that a change because we do have church conference this Wednesday night. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Make note of those things. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're very blessed by your presence. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They'd like to give some information to you. You gave us something on the pew pad. We appreciate that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers are going to recognize you. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside that packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. You know what? We worry about a lot of things, don't we? A lot of stuff. Worry, stress. And a lot of times it's other people. Things that are happening. Things being done to us. We fail to remember God is the God of them too. And he is in control of it all. There is nothing that's outside his scope, nothing outside his power, nothing outside what he sees. And we must trust he's a good and loving God. That's why we come to worship. That's why we come together. Let us prepare our hearts for what he wants to do in and through us this day. Will you pray with me? Father, we declare your majesty this day. We declare your might and your goodness. And we say to the world that we follow Christ. With our very lives being in this place, we recognize that you are God. We are not, and we need you. We are thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in this place of worship. May we listen as you speak to us this morning. You have something for us. May we worship you with everything that we have. And may we have the ears to hear what you might say to us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Oh, ministry of God's Word this morning comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. That is located on page 735 in your pew Bible. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Pray with me if you would. Father, this morning, we stop being Martha to come and to sit at your feet. Lord, forgive us for being caught up in the distractions of this world this week. Father, help us to sit at your feet more, to listen to your words more, to hear from you, and not to focus on what this world has to offer, because there's nothing here for us. Father, we thank you for that relationship we have with you through the gift of your Son. Father, this week, many of us have faced hard times, trials, frustrations, distractions from you. Lord, forgive us for focusing on those distractions. Father, this week, we've probably seen you, whether we've realized it or not. I've known we've seen you. Lord, help us to slow down. Help us to focus on your creation, the things that you've made for us, the way you provide for us. Father, the way you interact with us every single day, and yet we just miss it. Forgive us, Lord. Father, right now, while we're sitting at your feet, speak to us. Let us hear from you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for all the many blessings that you have given us. Let us remember that every day should be a day of thanks to you. We thank you for Jesus, your one and only Son, who died on the cross to save us from our sins. Let us be mindful that it is our commission as disciples of Christ to seek those who are not saved and to help bring them to an understanding of the love of God through Jesus Christ. Give us the knowledge and the faith that when we are sent in your name, we will not fail, and that you will guide us in sharing your message of love. Help us to be among the blessed who have not seen and yet have believed. We're grateful for this opportunity to give back a portion of the financial blessings that we have received. Let these gifts be used to further glorify your name. It is in your holy name that I pray. Amen.
Have you noticed our candle? Have you noticed that? When they come down and they light that, it just burns so bright and flickers up about this tall and it kind of settles in. Jeff mentioned earlier that our worship should affect our lives to the point where not just this time, but the rest of the week and the rest of the month. And I wonder sometimes if we as believers are a lot like our candle down here. You know, when the flame initially is lit, we burn really bright and it's very visible. And then over time, people have to really look to see if it's still burning. You probably just give an invitation and go home now, can I? But I prepared a sermon, and by golly, I'm going to preach it. We are going to read this morning. It is not the one that's listed in your bulletin, though. Just to keep you off guard, yeah. Just to keep you off guard. You know, last week we had a holdover from the week before on the do-gooder sermon, and what we were scheduled to preach last week was the Psalm 25. So, without telling Mary because I wasn't here, I decided I was going to preach Psalm 25. So this morning we're going to preach Psalm 25. The good news is, if you already turned to Psalm 15, you're almost there. Just turn a few more pages. But this is a psalm. It's basically a prayer. It has to do with worship. It has to do with our daily act of worship, and we'll get into that. But as I thought about this, I thought, I wonder, and I don't know if you've ever wondered, but preachers wonder about this kind of thing. I wonder what ancient worship was like. I mean, I know we read from Hebrew scripture what it's like, but I wonder what the personality exchange in ancient worship was like. I mean, did you have people that sat on the back row and said, I wish we'd sing those really old hymns? You know, we don't ever sing those anymore. You know, do you have those people there? Do you have people that says, you know, the lyre and the cymbals are just too loud? They need to turn those things down. Did you have the guy in the back that was still yelling Freebird? I don't know. That's a 70s joke. But, I mean, were people then as interactive? You know, did they have things to say, helpful comments for the minister of music that they would let them know about? And I thought, you know, for David, you know, David wrote a lot of songs. He wrote songs. Do you realize that? All through the middle of the scripture, you open your Bible in the middle, bam, you're right there in Psalms. There's a bunch of them. And I wonder what they sounded like when they started with the tambourines and the lyre and the cymbals. And I wonder what they sounded like when they sang them. What was the tune? Sometimes it'll say a song of David to the tune of or a hymn of blah, blah, blah. But we don't really know for sure what some of these sounded like. But we do know what the text is because he recorded it for us. And so these are beautiful. Psalm 25 is one of my favorite psalms and has been for a number of years. The band Third Day, a number of years ago, wrote a song called My Hope Is In You, which they took a great portion of that song directly from the words of Psalm 25. So we do know what it sounds like in a modern setting because bands are recording. Artists are taking this text and putting it to music so that we can sing them today. This is a gorgeous text. It is, to me, it is a prayer, and it is a prayer for all seasons of life, for all circumstances of life. Let me explain. If you look at verses 2 and 3, it's a prayer of trust amid your enemies. You know, in verses 4 and 5, it's a prayer for guidance in the perplexities of life. When life hits you fast and you're perplexed by that, verses 4 and 5 address that. It's a prayer of celebration of God's mercy and his loving kindness in verse 6. It's a prayer made in the consciousness of past sin in verse 7. It's a prayer confirming the goodness of the Lord in verse 8. It is a prayer awaiting the teaching of his way in verses 8 and 9. Yes, I understand that way speaks of Torah. I get that. But Torah points to Christ. It is a prayer of trust in God's covenant faithfulness in verse 10. So how do we break these down? I took the opportunity to use 8 points because 3 wasn't enough. Okay, but they're short, so rest assured, we're okay. All right, think of it more as like 2 groups of 4, if that'll help you. Go with 2 points, all right? But the first one is affirming trust. Affirming trust in God. As you kind of enter to the prayer, as you kind of open up Psalm 25, this is the first line there. In the NIV, it says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." New King James, "I lift up my soul. I put my trust." What is this? What is this lifting up? What is it really saying there? So you see, to the Israelites, the lifting of their hands in prayer was a gesture of dependence upon the Lord for the answer to that prayer. So if they said these words and they lifted their hands in prayer, they were depending that God was going to answer their prayer. You know, it was very much about God and God's action, not about our action. It was also an indication to openness of God's grace. What will the Lord bestow upon me? You know, first of all, I need to be willing to obey His instructions, submit to His leadership. And then what will God do? That was the open end to the prayer that we'll address in verse 10. Self, in other words, is set aside. Self is vanquished when we lift up our soul. When we lift up our soul. And we affirm our trust in Him. The second part of this is justice. If you look in verses 2 and 3. "Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse." What is this about? This is where we make our plea at the bar, if you will, of God's justice. You know, the psalmist plea not to be put to shame. There's a couple dimensions here. The first part of it is very personal. "Lord, do not let me be put to shame." But the second part of that is a community thing. God, let us not be put to shame. Let us not be put to shame. In the way that we live out our life, in the way that we follow you, in the way that we shape our life about your ways, do not let us be put to shame. But there's actually a third component in that, and that has to do with the honor of the God in whom we trust. Is He dependable? Does He have a sense of justice that will keep us safe, that will keep us in a just environment? And if so, then this is a testimony to Him as well. "For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long," as he says in verse 5. It reflects back to this. Is God just? Can we trust Him to do what He says He will do? We'll hit that again in verse 10 with the covenant pledge. The third part here, though, is truth. If you look at verses 4 and 5, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Truth. You see, to obey the Lord, we need to hear His truth. We need to hear His instructions. Dependence upon God should lead to right living. Now, it makes sense, right? We talked about the last 2 weeks about doing good, right? A bunch of do-gooders. And we said we want to do good. Why? Not for our glory. Not so we look good doing it, but so that it gives glory to God, right? Right? Are we agreed on that? Okay. So then if we're doing good and we're following God's ways, the psalmist says here, the relationship there, the cause and effect is, if we're following God's ways, that means we are trying at least to live a righteous lifestyle, right? So the idea is we follow God's ways, and in that way, it gives God's glory, gives God glory. And how do we do that, though? How do we have righteous living? The psalmist says it involves several things. Following, first of all, His ways. You're going to hear this repeated all through this psalm. His ways, God's ways, His ways. All right? Follow His ways. Walk in His path. Psalm 119, verse 1 talks about that in addition to what we have in verse 4. Being led in His truth and being taught by Him, as it says in the first part of verse 5. Being taught by Him, His truth. Now, despite what you may hear in the classroom if you're a student, or what you may hear on TV news, truth comes right here. I hear every night while I wonder if they're telling the truth. All you got to do, does it match up with this? Does it match up with this? If it matches up with this, then it's truth. If it really happened and it matches with this, it's truth. If it does not match up with God's word, it is not truth. It may be an accurate recollection of detail, but I don't believe it's truth because God's word is truth. Look no further. To know what is true, the psalmist says, seek God and His ways. His ways. Fourth part. And 4 and 5 here are kind of the positive and the negative, or A side of the 45 and B side of the 45, all right? The first one is mercy and loving kindness. This is the A side. On the positive side, we ask the Lord to remember His great mercy and love. Look in verse 6. Remember, O Lord, Your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember, Lord, remember the good stuff. For the psalmist, that there had been these demonstrations through the years, in years past, and he says they are from of old, these demonstrations of God's mercy and His loving kindness. They are from of old. It is Your history, God, that You do this, that You are merciful, that You are good, that You are kind. Now, perhaps, I don't know, the psalmist David may have been referring to the Lord's revelation of Moses after the golden calf incident back in Exodus 34. I don't know, but I do know what we can do, and that is that we can count our blessings, right? Name them. Yes. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Yes. So we can remember that as well. His mercy, His compassion, His faithfulness. The psalmist is saying, Lord, remember that. We remember that. Lord, remember that You're merciful. Now here comes the B side. Here comes the B side. Look at verse 7. Remember not. Verse 6 says, remember, O Lord, Your great mercy and Your love. Verse 7 says, remember not. Please do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to Your love, please, please, according to Your love, remember me, for You are good, O Lord. God's mercy and His goodness. The B side. We ask the Lord effectively to forget our sins and to look upon us in mercy as He would look on Christ. At least that's what I get from it. I get a foreshadowing, if you will, of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This perfect substitution. That when God sees us, He sees not our sin once it is confessed, but He sees the blood of His Son who died for our sin. The psalmist appeals to the Lord's mercy. He appeals to the Lord's goodness to blot out the sins of his youth. And according to Your love, remember me, for You, Lord, are good. Please. Please. Number 6. Is verse 8, affirming God's goodness once again. Verse 8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in His ways. Again, His ways. Good and upright is the Lord. It is because of the Lord's goodness that we can rely on Him to teach us His ways. He cares about us. He wants us to have a life free from the negative consequences of our sin that we talked about last week and the week before. Because He cares about us, He wants us to follow His ways so life is less stressful. Because we're walking in a good path with less negative consequences. Because He is good, He's teaching us His way, His ways. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me, yeah. Except by me, but by me, for by me, depending on your translation. See, Jesus is laying it out there. And God's word is very consistent in its message. The psalmist says, God, because you're good, you teach me your way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, follow me. Follow me, do what I do. Treat people like I treat people. Speak to people in the manner in which I speak to people. Think like I think. Love like I love. Be merciful even as I am merciful and I have taught you to be merciful. You see, it was God's goodness, it was God's love that prompted him to give us his son as a model. In case you can't figure it out, here's how I want you to live. Number 7. See, we're moving through these pretty quick, right? The last two are really long though. No, I'm just kidding. Number 7, a promise for the meek. NIV says humble. That's okay, same thing. A promise for the meek or the humble. Verse 9, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them what? His way. Here we go again. Drive it home. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. You know, that is the promise we claim. In the Old Testament, the psalmist promises that the meek, that the humble, shall inherit the land in Psalm 37, verse 11. The meek, the humble, will inherit the land. In the New Testament, if you go to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, what did Jesus say? The meek will inherit what? The earth. The land, the earth. Again, the Bible is very consistent in what it's promoting here. And that is humility, dependence upon God, lack of arrogance, lack of pride. Get yourself out of the way. These are the kind of things that God wants us to follow. Follow my son, the way. Here's how you should live. If you want the best life possible, here's how you live. And so the Lord undertakes to guide the meek, the humble, in judgment and teaching him his way. We should seek to be meek. Seek to be humble. The last point has to do with the last verse, and that has to do with the idea of covenant. We talk about covenant a lot of times when we approach the Lord's table for to take communion together. We talk about the idea that in the blood is a new covenant. We talk about a covenant as an agreement between two parties. And in verse 10 here, we have this concept of covenant. It says, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. Did you hear that? What's the first word? All. Just in case you wondered. Just in case you questioned it this week. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. What is the psalmist promoting here? Goodness, mercy, truth. They're all based in God's covenant and is consistent with his word. Psalm 25, verse 10, memorize it if you will. This verse we just read. All of his ways, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. All of them. God's covenant is sure. God's covenant is true. You can count on it. In a world where you can't count on a whole lot, psalmist says, God is the covenant. What more could you want? Mercy, grace, goodness, truth. And the ultimate expression, as I've already alluded to, of God's covenant mercy and love is seen in the cross of Jesus. John 3:16, it says, for God so that he gave his son, the way, to show us lest we fail to remember. We wrote it down. What he said, what he did, how he interacted with people. So this week, no matter where life leads you, no matter how life may hit you in the face, I would say, remember this prayer. Remember this song, Psalm 25. Put a marker in your Bible right there. And whether life is going great or whether life is going not so great, go back to Psalm 25, a psalm for all seasons, a psalm for every occasion. Let's pray and give Him thanks for it. Gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word. God, we thank You that You chose a man like David, a man that we know from Scripture was a man after Your own heart, to write these words down, to write this truth down, Father, so that we would know. We would know the nature of our relationship with You and relationship with one another. God, continue to teach us Your ways. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who showed us, who told us, who demonstrated Your perfect love, Your mercy, Your compassion. Help us to be people just like that. But when we fall short, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace that forgives our shortcomings. God, we love You and we pray that all that we do would be a worthy reflection of our relationship with You. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you don't have that relationship, that foundational relationship with Jesus Christ, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. And I invite you, if you don't know Christ, let's settle that this morning. I'll be here at the front when we sing our song here and be glad to talk with you about that. If you are a believer, but you say, Raymond, I'm just not sure I'm following in His ways. I need to reset. I need to confess this stuff that's in my way and get back to God's ways. This is a great day to do it. I can't think of a better day to reset, get back in proper relationship with God, get your priorities reset as He leads you. You can settle that where you are if you'd like to talk with me. Certainly be glad to do so as well. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this church, I highly recommend it. Great group of people. There are a lot of ways we receive members. I'd be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing now. Thank you. Be sure to take a minute following our benediction and choral response to greet one another, speak a word of encouragement to each other as we go from this place to live out what we've learned. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the opportunity to share together, to study your word, to learn from your word. Father, we pray that we would take it to heart so that we will live it out this week. And we pray as we do good things, Father, as we live a righteous life, that we would always point others to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.